Mary Ingleby interviewing Ernest Redding on the 24th of April 2013. So, shall I call you Ernie or Ernest?
Ernie.
Okay, not Ernest. Ernie, if we just start by you introducing yourself to me, just tell me who you are and perhaps talk a little bit about where you were born and who your parents are.
Ernest Redding. I was born in Gibraltar on 18/8/1929. My parents were Ernest Redding and Mary Sheriff. And I've been living in the UK now for 34 years and hoping to go back to Gibraltar soon as well.
Fantastic. So let's just talk a little bit about your parents first. Yeah. Were your parents Gibraltarians? Where did they come from?
My parents were Gibraltarians, were both Gibraltarians. My grandfather actually was born in Aldershot. My great-grandfather came to Gibraltar 1860, married a local woman. There are 13 children. My father was born in Gibraltar. My mother was born in Gibraltar of Scottish parentage, somehow or other. And my father from the Reading branch. My great-grandfather was the first Reading in Gibraltar. And we all come from him, actually.
I mean, Reading sounds quite an English name, doesn't it?
My great-grandfather came in Gibraltar with the army in 1860. In the 15th Regiment of Foot in Shorks, married a local woman, Anna Maria Apostle, my great-grandmother. Then they left overseas, so the children that were born, the 30 children that were born all over the place, in UK, in the different places of the British Army, went to, and even one of the girls was born in Trinidad. And the rest of it, the last five were born in Gibraltar. My great-grandfather died in Gibraltar. He's buried in Gibraltar. And he died at the age of 68. And my grandfather said was born in Aldershot, but he married twice. On both occasions, his wife, first wife and second wife, were both Spanish. And that's how the family's gone, as far as that. My father was for a long time one of the founders of St. John's Ambulance Brigade in Gibraltar. And prior to retiring from St. John's, he ended up as a district staff officer of St. John's in Gibraltar.
So in your family, thank you, how many of you were you in your family?
My father, my mother, my sister, myself.
So not a big family then?
Not a big family.
And can I ask you, who's the oldest?
Still living, me, 84, this year.
And so can you talk a little bit about what you remember from Gibraltar for the first sort of 10 years of your life before the war, growing up? What was Gibraltar like then?
Gibraltar was definitely not the Gibraltar it is nowadays, obviously. It was, we lived in a different sort of atmosphere that is Gibraltar today. Obviously, I went to school, and it came up to this time when war came round. I remember even things about the Spanish Civil War when people from Spain came into Gibraltar, escaping from the Republican from Spain, came into Gibraltar, escaping from the fascist government, and took refuge in Gibraltar until after the war. You know, a lot of things that I can remember about that.
Can you talk a little bit about that, Ernie? I mean, in particular, I mean, what did happen? Do you remember people coming in? Were they coming in from La Linea? Were they?
They all came in from La Linea, obviously, and they were taken off care of by the services in Gibraltar at the time. The army built tents in places where near Victoria Gardens, where the airport is now, yes, at the moment. They were, you know, allocated tents and put in there. They were looked after by the people from Gibraltar. Some of them had relatives in Gibraltar. They went to stay with them. But, you know, they were all over the place in Gibraltar, and Then, of course, as the incident when I can remember myself seeing the ships, the Franco's ships bombarding Algeciras across the bay. I remember seeing that. I remember seeing everything about when the famous José Lucía's destroyer was fired on by the Spanish warships in the Des Republican destroyer fired on by the Spanish warships in the bay, well, outside the bay in Gibraltar, actually in the Straits, and took refuge in Gibraltar when it was damaged, and it was kept there until after the war was finished. But they did leave one night, but unfortunately somebody signaled to the ships lying out, the nationalist ships lying out in the harbour, and they took the ship again into action. The ship eventually beached at Catalan Bay, and then it was recovered by the British tugs from Gibraltar, taken to Gibraltar and kept in Gibraltar till after the war, when it was handed over again to the Spanish nationalist government.
Do you think the Gibraltarians welcomed the refugees? How did they feel about it?
There is very, very... of course, I was a young boy at the time, but I've read about that there was a faction from Gibraltar who sided with Franco's side, you know, politically. Not that they had anything to do with the Spanish government, but there was, as a matter of fact, the union at the time in Gibraltar was the workers' union, you know, Transfronteriza Workers' Union, and they sided, obviously, with the nationalist government. But originally, there wasn't any real... direct action with the Gibraltar people and the Spanish people. I mean, we've lived amicably for ages, and we still do. We don't have anything of the Spanish people. And bearing in mind, my grandmother was English, Spanish, I'm sorry.
What language did you speak at home?
Well, both, English or Spanish. Officially, as you probably know yourself, everything is English. Officially, everything in English.
And school was English? School was
Yes, it was one. So, taught mainly by the Christian Brothers from Ireland.
And what about where you lived? Did you live in a flat? Where did you live?
Houses. They were houses privately owned. They were not flats or anything owned by government. Flats were hardly known in Gibraltar such at the time. There were old houses, you know. Where I used to live, as far as I know now, it's become ruins now, and they're going to build it down, you know. There's a Cavaliers Court off Hagrid's Parade. That's all.
So, obviously, and we're talking about the 1930s, it wasn't so built up at all.
Oh, no, far from it. Far from it. I mean, it's unbelievable. The changes I've seen, you brought us. It's unbelievable.
There was still quite a huge population, though, weren't there? Even though it's
Gibraltar was very well known, you know, in those years, to about possibly about 20,000-25,000. Nowadays, it's a lot more. That's excluding, of course, services and people coming into work from Spain. We're talking about Gibraltar population themselves, you know.
Do you think that Gibraltar's got a very strong identity? It's not, because it's not... I mean, I usually ask this at the end of the interview, but it's quite interesting about thinking you're talking about Gibraltar then. I mean, did you feel, you know, you were a Gibraltarian? You weren't... Were you Gibraltarian? Were you British? Were you Spanish?
No, British Gibraltarian. All the time. But I bear in mind that my ancestry is British.
So you may be more British Gibraltarian than some people.
Not necessarily, because people in Gibraltar don't want to be anything else but British. Simple as that.
What about at school? Did you learn British history?
Oh, yes. British history, everything was in English. I mean, I've always been interested in history anyway, so, you know, I've learned British history and all that. Otherwise...
Did you learn anything about Gibraltar, though?
I've learned a lot about Gibraltar many, many years afterwards.
But not at school?
Not at school, no. I mean, the school that I went to, well, that we attended in Gibraltar, schools that we attended in Gibraltar, were mainly based on elementary education, more than history itself, the three arts, so that's it, you know.
And what was sort of everyday life like? I mean, do you think life was more, was it easier? Was it quite an easy, nice life?
Life in Gibraltar at the time, I would say, was quite... easy in a way, of course, things have changed a lot. You used to get eat fresh food every day. There was no such thing as fridges and all that, you know. Only the very people, wealthy people who owned big houses had to sort things like that, but the people went to, mainly the women, used to go to market every day, get fresh fruit every day, fresh food every day, fresh meat every day. You go down with a pound to the mug and still have change. That sort of thing.
And what about water? Did you have to get your own water?
No, we used to have it, get it from supplied on fountains. However, where we lived, we had a cistern under our house, and we had a pump in the patio where we used to pump the water. The rainwater comes from the... Every year the ceilings, the roofs were cleaned for a while before rainfall, so the water went in and it was connected onto, and the water came into the... And then we used to have the big containers, which we used to call in Spanish tinajas, and they used to fill them up with water. But when during the summer season, we used to get the water in buckets from the... used to pay something like halfpenny a bucket, something like that, for water to be brought into the house.
And now all houses have running water, presumably.
As far as I know, yes. Well, we got running water, actually, in my house, I'm talking about, after we returned from the war, I think, possibly, or maybe before. We arranged to have running water, but prior to that, hardly many or any of the houses had running water at the time.
And do you think is water quite scarce in Gibraltar? I mean, is it?
It was immediately after the war, it was very scarce, because the water was collected on the cistern here, the water system in Gibraltar, where the water came from. The rain and the catchments that were at the back of the rock into channels and then into the reservoirs. However, when it went a bit short, they used to contact tankers that were being newly built and had been used before, and they used to bring in brought water even from the UK.